Hi, everybody. Good to see you again, all right? I'm going to share with you a powerful word today, overcoming insecurity. Okay, during this pandemic, COVID-19 lockdown, I think there's a lot of insecurity in people's life. And some of them have lost their job, like in Malaysia, it's estimated about 2 million people have lost their job. Wow, that's a lot. That includes my own nephew. He just recently got a job and he lost a job because of the pandemic, COVID-19. Now, uncertainty is something that we all go through in life. We go through so much uncertainty in life, whether you're single or married, whether you're a businessman, whether you're a preacher, whether you're in a ministry, we all go through uncertainty. You know, having a child and overseas education and so many issues, all right? Now, I want to share with you three important points how we can overcome insecurity, uncertainty in our life. Firstly, remember that the God we serve is not just Almighty God or just a figment of imagination. The God you and I believe is the God, our Heavenly Father. Jesus revealed God the Father to us when he shared the prayer, the Lord's Prayer to the disciples. It says, our Father who is in heaven. He didn't introduce as Almighty God or Omniscient or the Omnipotent God, but he introduces him as a God the Father. Wow, loving Father. Remember, our God is a God of love, compassion, graciousness. He says that he takes care of the birds in the air. Even one bird drop, God noticed. How much more? You are more valuable than the birds of the air. So don't worry about your future. Don't worry about the uncertainty in life. He got great plans for you. For he has great plans for your life, for your future. Now the Bible says in Psalms 139, verse 16, everything in your days of your life are already written in a book. Can you imagine all the days of your life as a child of God? It's already written in a book. And it says that the days are fashioned. God skillfully fashioned, made each day. And he knows that we're going to live on 2020. There's going to be a pandemic. There's going to be COVID-19. And he has incorporated all this into our lives. And what the enemy meant for evil, I believe God's going to turn it for good. So remember, God knows the number of your hair. God knows your name. In the book of Isaiah 49, verse 15 to 16, it says, can a nursing mother forget his baby, her baby? Of course, a nursing mother can never forget her baby. She'll probably die for the baby. It says, even though a nursing mother may forget her baby, but the Lord God Almighty will not forget you. He has inscribed you in the palm of your hand. Isn't that amazing? He has inscribed you in the palm of your hand. Let me just share a quick testimony. Many years ago, we were planning to buy two houses, one to stay and one for office lot. So there was a 270 house that we're looking at. And we decided to purchase one that's next to each other so that our office on one house and we stay in another house. So we bought it and I wanted to buy the ministry house by cash. In other words, I'm not going to take a bank loan. And the developer was just starting to build, so it gives us about 2 years. You know, when they build 10%, we pay 10%. So as the days goes by, I know God knows, you know, sometimes we just know in our head, but not in our hearts. We have not truly experienced the goodness of God, the loving kindness of God, the reality of God. We know that God knows our name. We know that he knows the number of our hair, but it doesn't sink in until we experience it. Well, what happened was during that time when I was believing God for the finance to come in, because I was not taking a bank loan, a friend of mine in Singapore sent me an email. He says, Brother Paul, I want to give you this sum of money. It was a very big sum. Now, I've been in ministry long enough that sometimes Christians don't keep their promise. It's just, like my pastor says, talk is cheap. They promise the sky, the moon and everything and never fulfill their promise. I have a preacher friend promised to support me 100 ringgit, which is not much once a month for 100 ringgit for my ministry. And that was some 30 years ago. I have not even received 1 ringgit, let alone 100 ringgit. So when I received that email, I wasn't very impressed. So I replied him. I said, brother, I just want you to give yourself 1 week. Pray with your wife that your wife will agree to release this money. I don't want you to have a fight. You know, husband want to give, wife don't want to give, and all such things. And I want you to pray that you're very certain that you want to send this money, which is a lot of money, for our ministry. So my friend replied the email. He says, Pastor Paul, me and my wife agreed to give this sum of money to actually 3 different ministries. And as we began to seek God, God spoke to our hearts that send all this money to Pastor Paul Ang Ministry. Wow. When I saw that email, when I read that email, I was very encouraged that God knows my name. Of course, He knows my name. He inscribed my face, my name in the palm of His hand. He's done the same for you too. So you can trust Him. You can believe Him because He's your Heavenly Father. He's a good Father. Now, I'm sure you know there are natural fathers, biological fathers. If you were to ask your father for a fish, what will he give you? A snake? Of course not, a fish. If you ask for bread, will he give you a stone? Of course not. He will give you bread, maybe more than bread, maybe char kway teow, wantan mee or whatever. If your earthly father knows how to give good gifts to the children, how much more your heavenly Father? I remember many years ago, just before even my son was born, I already prepared the cord, the clothing, the milk bottle, and all the things that he needs. I already planned ahead. Wow, because I'm a good father. And not only that, I'm saving up for his education, his future education, especially his tertiary university education, which is very expensive. Now, as a good father, I already done that. And right now, he's studying his final year law in America. Praise God. Now, if an earthly father is so good, so wonderful, so compassionate and loving, how much more our Heavenly Father? So we can believe Him and put our life upon His hand, our future and everything, and we don't need to be anxious or fearful or feel uncertain. All right? So He is a good, loving Abba Father. Secondly, to overcome uncertainty and insecurity in our life, anxiety, we need to learn to trust Him 100%. Now, I use the word 100% because sometimes we trust Him 80%, 70%. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means that's 100%. Not half, not quarter, but all your heart. And in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Now, a lot of people want God's direction. But there's a condition that it says, first of all, we must trust with all our heart. Secondly, it says, lean not upon our own understanding. If we are so clever, we know everything, we don't need direction. That's why we learn to trust. Now, the word trust there is very strong. It's stronger than belief. The word trust is to rely, to abandon yourself totally, to rely 100%, to abandon yourself. Now, I'm sitting on a very good cushioned chair. I trust the chair will not break halfway, right? I'm doing the recording and it will not break halfway because I trust the chair. It has the strength, it has the endurance to support my weight. Now, that's trust. And I'm feeling sitting very comfortably. However, if you're sitting a chair that you know is going to break anytime, you know you'll not be comfortable, you'll not be secure, right? Now, it's the same. When you trust God that you know that He's dependable, that He is trustworthy, He'll not fail us, He'll not disappoint us, and He has the best for our life, so we can truly trust Him in many areas of our life. Let me share a testimony. Many years ago when my wife conceived, it was about 2 months when we found that she was pregnant. And we went to see our gynae, who is Pastor Dr. Chiu. He was our gynae. He's also a pastor of a church at that point of time. So when he examined my wife, he confirmed that she's pregnant. And he said something interesting. He says, I don't like this pregnancy. It's 50-50% chance. Now, it means that there's only 50% percent chance of survival for the baby. Now, what happened is my wife was having some bleeding. She was bleeding while she was pregnant at the time. So Dr. Chi wanted to total bed rest, hospitalize her immediately. And we were just going for a checkup to find out whether she was pregnant or not. So we were not ready. So we said to the doctor, give us 1 week. So we came back home. So I began to seek God. I began to seek God for a word. I wanted to something to believe on God. And God gave me Malachi 3, verse 10, about tithing that we know so well, bring the tithes. And then in verse 11, it's a very powerful promise for those who tithe. God says that He will rebuke the devourer. And the old King James says, the vine will not cast the fruit before its time. So when the fruit is on the vine, it will not drop off halfway. You will go to full term and be a nice, juicy grapes, and then it can be harvested. Now, so that was applicable to my wife's situation where the baby was threatened to be aborted. So I began to declare and trust God's word. Not only we trust Him, we also trust His word because God keeps His promise. I began to latch on that promise and began to trust the fruit of the vine will not be cast out before the time. So we began to seek God about this issue and trust Him. And then a week later, when we went back, Dr. Chu said something very interesting. There was no heartbeat. He couldn't sense any heartbeat. There was no heartbeat. And actually, the baby already died. When my wife went back the second time, she was already discharging decay blood, black decay blood. In other words, the baby already died. So, of course, the guy didn't want to do the DNC, clear the room, clear the womb, not the room, clear the womb and do everything. And I just told him, I said, Pastor Chu, just give us 1 more week. He says, all right, all right, if anything that's needed, you can see my brother, who is also a gynae in another hospital. He said, I'm going for a church camp the next few days. So just take this letter, emergency or anything, just go and see him, all right? So we took back the letter and I went back home and I don't know what to do. I really don't know what to do. I just knelt down and began to pray and began to seek God. And God gave me another scripture. In James 1, verse 17, the Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father of light, where there is no shadow of turning or variation. That means God is constant. He's the same. What He promised, He will perform. So I say, God, this is a gift from You. So I began to lay my hands on my wife's tummy and I began to speak to my child. I said, baby, You are a good and perfect gift from God above. You're a good and perfect gift. So about a week later, we went back and strangely, the heartbeat came back. The child came back to life. And the whole pregnancy was full of uncertainty, full of anxiety. So towards the third trimester, the last 3 months, Pastor Dr. Chu came to us again. He says, Paul, I've been monitoring the head of the baby. The head of the baby is not growing. The placenta, there's something wrong with the placenta. The head of the baby is not growing. Now, with the kind of pregnancy that is going through, you know that the baby will be born deformed, mentally retarded, etc., etc. There's a lot of uncertainty of concerning the health of the baby. However, we just trust God. We just trust His word. We just trust His promise. And finally, after 9 months, when my baby was born, he was born a normal, perfect baby. And the best part is, he looks like the father. And God did a miracle. At 17, he went to university in America, and he did very well. The four-year course, he finished in 3 years, and then he did law, and now he's in the final year of law. So praise God. So we can trust God in every area of our life, and we just need to listen to Him, obey His commandment, and get into the Word of God, and we know that all will be well. All right, one more testimony. I was going to send our son. I just mentioned just now that at 17, we are sending our son to the university. You know, I've traveled to more than 50 nations in my ministry. And every nation I go, somebody will pick us up from the airport. They will host us. They'll put in a hotel in somebody's home. And everything is taken care of. And it was very comfortable. And they invite us. They provide everything. But to send my son to university is another story. And he was going to study in Dallas. I do not know anybody there who could pick us up, host us, or send us to Dallas, to the university, DBU, where he was going to study. So it was kind of difficult. This is the first time I'm going overseas somewhere. I don't know who is going to pick us up. I don't know where we're going to stay as a family. I don't even know where the campus is. And I normally don't drive when I go overseas. And America, we drive on the right side to overtake the fast lane. America, left side. So it's all very different. So about 2 weeks before we fly off, we still didn't have anybody. So I was getting desperate and anxious. And 1.5 weeks before we flew off, I was speaking in a church camp, a little church camp in Malaysia. I was having lunch with this one of the elders who is a doctor, a medical doctor called Dr. Chirayan. And I said to Dr. Chirayan, do you happen to know anybody in Dallas? And I was telling him that we needed to go there, a place to stay and somebody to pick us up from the airport. He said, yes, the former pastor of this church is Dr. Pastor Margaret and Michael Yap. I said, yeah, I know them. I preached in their church more than 20 years ago. I said, do you have their contact, their email? And Dr. Chirayan was very gracious to give it to us. And I sent the email to Michael and Margaret Yap. And immediately they replied. It says, Pastor Paul, we remember you. Sorry, we are no longer staying in Dallas. We have moved about 2 hours away. However, don't worry. We have this Malaysian family staying in Dallas. The husband's going to take leave. He's going to pick your whole family from the airport. They're going to host you. And he's going to take your son to register in the university. I say, wow. Wow. You know, God is so amazing. As we trust in Him, we'll not be disappointed. As we put our trust in Him, we'll not be ashamed. Now He go before us and we can trust in Him in everything that we do. All right. So even though we're going through uncertainty, even right now, I don't know what uncertainty you're going through right now, whether it's an area of finance, maybe you lost your job, or maybe your business is going to suffer a lot because of the COVID-19 pandemic, or maybe you're going through a difficult time. Maybe you're not sure about your son's future education and where the money is going to come from. Maybe you bought a house and you couldn't finance, or whatever area you are going through uncertainty right now. Just lift your hands, surrender to God and say, God, I put my trust in you. Just as Proverbs says, I'm going to trust you with all my heart. I'm not going to lean upon my own understanding. In other words, I don't know how this is going to work out, but we trust you, we believe you, and we know that all will be well. Amen? And finally, I want to share with you the third key. The first key is knowing that God is your loving, gracious, good Heavenly Father. He has great plan for us. He got a plan that will prosper us and bless us. And secondly, we need to trust Him with all our heart, abandon to rely totally upon Him. And thirdly, my last point, remember your time, your future is in God's hand. All right? Now, I've taken this scripture from Psalm 31. The background of Psalms 31 is David was running away from King Saul. King Saul, the mad king, was after David's life and he was going to kill him. So David was running in the wilderness for his life. And imagine King Saul has the whole army of Israel looking and hunting for David. Now, just to get some reference, imagine the whole of Singapore police and army looking for you. And not only looking for you, when they see you, they shoot on sight. Not shoot, shoot. They kill you on sight. Now, how wonderful. Do you think you can sleep well at night? Now, there's so much stress and so much... Anyway, in Psalms 31, it's a very emotional, negative psalm of David. And he started off and said, Lord, I put my trust in you. That's isn't wonderful. And then he started to go through all the negatives, fears on every side, reproach, and he couldn't sleep. His bones were aching. He had so much problem. He had so much negative emotion. He's not sure he'll survive another day. And so many things. He was going through all the negatives. And suddenly, in verse 14, he says, but you, O God, I put my trust. The writing of that psalm began to take a turn. Suddenly, he realized that even though he goes through the valley of the shadow of death, even though he goes through the threat of his life, even though he through sickness, even though he through difficult times, even though you're not sure you'll live for another day, he says, Lord, I put my trust in you. And verse 15 says, my times are in your hand. I like that phrase in verse 15 of Psalms 31. The Bible says, my times are in your hand. Isn't that beautiful? I want to declare to you, my dear friend, your time as a child of God is in God's hand. Your time, your future is in God's hand. All will be well. Just trust in Him, relax, enjoy, and declare that today is the day that the Lord has made. Your worry, your fear, your anxiety cannot change anything. Let me share with you a personal experience. Some 28 years ago, wow, that's a long, long time, isn't it? Some 28 years ago, I was privileged, I was honored to be specially chosen to be a candidate of dengue fever. Now, I'm sure you know what dengue fever is. It's usually in the Southeast Asia region. And I think Singapore also has dengue fever, and so is Malaysia. Now, as a pastor, I go to hospital to visit people and pray for the sick. I've never been hospitalized in my whole life since then. And for the first time in my life, I was hospitalized. Well, dreadful. And I stayed in the best hospital in the world, Kuala Lumpur General Hospital. Third class ward. It was just next to the road. The ceiling on the fan is so old that it's going to drop anytime. And the bed is so old and it's so pathetic. All right, anyway, to make the short story long, I was confirmed had dengue fever, and the platelet count of my blood was going down and down. And every morning, a doctor would come and examine me, and he will always ask this standard question, are you bleeding? And I never understood what this doctor meant when they asked, are you bleeding? Until the third day, the third morning when I went to the toilet, I realized I was bleeding. And that morning, the third morning when I was hospitalized, four doctors came to see me. Now, by this time, all my skins were like horrible lobster red, like a reptile skin, like a snake skin. It was so horrible, dengue fever. I had the worst hemorrhage dengue fever of the worst kind from the pits of hell. Now, when the four doctors came to examine me that morning, they had like a mini seminar, a mini discussion among them. And my wife was just standing about maybe about 50 meters away, watching the whole thing. And after they had the discussion and after they examined me, one of the doctors went to Christina, my wife, and asked her, who is he? How is he related to you? And my wife says, this is my husband. And the doctor says to her, please prepare for the worst. Isn't that exciting? You know, I knew I was dying. That night, I could not sleep. I wonder anybody here, you have experienced that you're dying. I couldn't sleep. I was thinking, I'm so young. I just got married for 2 years and I'm just in the ministry for 5 years and I'm going to die. I was thinking, look, God has so many prophecy for me. Then suddenly a thought came to me. Aha, maybe this is a time where Jesus is going to come and visit me. Maybe he's going to come and visit me. He's going to heal me. He's going to put the healing power on my hand and say, go around the world and bring the healing power of God to the nation. So I was kind of excited. So I started to pray, Lord, please come and heal me. And I waited and waited and nothing happened. After some time, I was very tired. I said, Lord, maybe my case is not that serious. All right, maybe you're very busy in other issues. Just send an angel, all right? Just send an angel. So I was kind of dozing off to sleep. And and half asleep, half awake. Then I heard suddenly footstep coming. Toop, toop, toop. Ah, someone was coming. Or maybe Jesus, maybe an angel. And I was kind of half asleep. And suddenly I saw this white figure in front of me, wearing white. At last, it was a nurse. She was checking on my temperature and everything was all right. And she left and I went back to sleep. In my sleep, I had this dream, a very interesting dream. In this dream, I saw this huge clock, a very huge clock in front of me. And the clock was at 11:59. And there's this second hand leaving the number 12. It was ticking away. As I was looking at the clock very intently, I just realized that when the clock hit 12, I'll be totally healed. I cannot explain how I know this. I just knew. So I was just looking very intently at the second hand as it moved. It started to move and then it going towards number 12. And when it hit 12, I shouted with a big scream. I said, I'm healed. And then I got up from my bed and all the tubes were all over me. But I just knew in my spirit that I was totally healed. The next morning, they take the blood test. Every morning, they take the blood test. So the next morning, they take the blood test. I knew my platelet counts would come to normal. And when the results came out, sure enough, my platelet count was normal, my fever gone, and the next day, I was discharged. Hallelujah. Why am I sharing this? When it's not time for you to die, you will not die. All the days of your life are already fashioned, already skillfully wept into your life. The day you are born, the day you leave this world. So you don't have to live with uncertainty, don't have to live with fear, don't have to live with anxiety. Even if you fly in the plane and the plane crash, everybody died, you won't die. You just come out and just walk away without hurt. So don't worry. It's not time to go. You don't go because your time, your future is in God's hand. I remember a testimony of a man of God many years ago. He was flying in a plane. And this is a true story. I don't know whether you know this. Anyway, this man of God was flying in a plane. And halfway through, the engine of the plane caught fire. Can you imagine? The engine of the plane caught fire. And he was seated at the window seat and he could see the fire. The engine was on fire. And of course, they're going for emergency landing. Can you imagine the fear, the anxiety, the uncertainty if you're flying in a plane? The preacher was not exempted. he went to the bathroom and began to cry out to God. He said, God, I'm not ready to die. I haven't said goodbye to my children, my ministry and so many things. I'm on my way for a ministry trip. I'm not ready to die. He began to cry out to God. In fear, in anxiety, in uncertainty. Suddenly an angel of God appeared to him. The angel of God says, don't worry. You are not going to die. All will be well. All will be well. So he washed his face, came out from the bathroom and he tell everybody, don't worry, we won't die. All will be well. The plane will be safe. They looked at him like nuts. Everybody was fearful. Everybody was turning pale. And some of them were grabbing the seat so tight, like they're going to control the plane. But he was very cool, calm cucumber, because the angel of the Lord spoke to him. He went back to his seat and he was watching as the plane was going for emergency landing. Suddenly, the whole engine that was on fire dropped off. Do you know how dangerous the plane on fire, it can explode, you know? So the plane, the engine was on fire, drop off halfway. The plane landed safely, emergency landing, and none of them was harmed. Everybody was safe and everybody was secured. Hallelujah. Well, my dear friend, your times are in God's hand. Your future is in God's hand. No matter the valley of shadow of death you go through, no matter you're going through sickness, no matter whatever financial situation, or you lost your job, maybe your business is going through a difficult time, maybe your wife is going through a difficult time, whatever situation you're going through right now, you can trust the Lord. You can know that He is your good Heavenly Father. Alright? Right now, I want to pray for you. If you could just kindly stretch out your hand towards me. I'm going to pray that whatever situation you're going through right now, you can just stretch out my hands to me as I stretch my hands to you. That we can pray a prayer of agreement. That through this difficult time of pandemic, COVID-19, and what the enemy has meant for evil, God's going to turn it for good. The Bible says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God. COVID-19 cannot prevail against the church of the living God. And we will triumph. God will give us the victory. And what the enemy meant for evil, He will turn it for good. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I pray for every person who is viewing this message. God, that You will touch each one of their hearts. Lord, every anxiety, every uncertainty, every fear, Lord, be removed from their hearts, Lord. Lord, they'll be still and know that the Lord is in control. He is our Abba, loving, heavenly Father. I pray right now, Lord, that Your provision will be released upon them if they need a job. Lord, You cause the business to turn around. Lord, when this COVID lockdown is over, they will see the sunshine after the rain. They will see the rainbow after the storm, Lord. I just thank You. Lord, Your testimony will be one of Your goodness, Your faithfulness. Lord, Your great blessing upon their life. They know that, God, You're alive. You have inscribed their name, their face in the palm of Your hand, Lord. Lord, that nothing happened in our life by chance or by mistake, Lord. Every day is already skillfully fashioned by Your hand. And just like Job, when he lost everything, he lost his life, he lost his health, he lost his wealth, he lost all his children in one day. He says, though You slay me, yet will I trust Him. Wow, what a man who trusted God even in the most difficult time of his life. He lost his job, he lost his everything, his wealth, his children, his health. He says, Lord, even though You slay me, even though You kill me, I will put my trust in You. Well, may we put our trust in the Lord, and we know we'll not be ashamed, we'll not be disappointed. Amen. God bless you. You have a great day. Bye. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen.